As Alan announced, our reading this morning is from James chapter 1, verses 19 through 26. James chapter 1, 19 through 26. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless.
We'll continue on where Jan just read from the Bible, James chapter 1. James has some very good information for us concerning the words we speak. And certainly emphasized in this is the fact that what comes out of our mouth reflects pretty much who we are and what we are and what we're thinking at that time. So when you look at all these things, the way we deal with our thoughts and the way we deal with our words every day has an impact not only on our soul and our life in relationship with God, but it has also an impact on those around us. So this morning in our first lesson, we talked about encouraging words from the Bible. And so at this time, let's look at our own life and say, am I speaking in a way in which I am a good example and I am an encouragement for others around me? And so our goal in getting to heaven is doing God's will, and part of God's will is that we would think pure thoughts, think on His Word, meditate on His Word, and then control our life, and then so our thoughts as we speak verbally comes out what we're thinking, then that reflects who we are. So if we want to control our tongue, if we want to think about the words that come out of our mouth, they're a good evaluation of what's in our heart. And the Bible has very much to say about that. And so let's look at some of these things this morning. James chapter 1, where Jan read, "So then, my beloved brethren, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." So hearing the Word of God is important. Be quick to hear it. Always be interested and receive it. If someone else is speaking, be attentive and listen to what they've got to say and make an evaluation on what they've said. But then think about what we say before we say it. And that's easier said than done. It's always been for me. Sometimes I spoke out of turn many times, James, over the years, and I wish I could recall those words sometimes as soon as they came out of my mouth. I wish I could bring them back, and then sometimes I've spoken, and later on I think, well, you know, I really shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have said it that way. So a good evaluation of what we're going to say before we say it is important. And so then control our anger. So, swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, he says. So, if we are going to be serving God, if we're going to be a religious-minded person and in keeping with the will of God, but we don't bridle our tongue, we deceive our own heart, and so our religion is vain. And we certainly don't want our religion to be vain, our activities toward God in a religious aspect, religious circle, to be vain. So, what's a good measure and tape of that is, can we control our tongue? So, let's go ahead and look now at some things the Bible says about the tongue. The sins of the tongue are listed in various places throughout the Bible.
There are some things that people did in the Old Testament that were condemned in the law of Moses. There were some warnings given in the law of Moses about certain words that they were not to come off their tongue, shouldn't roll off their tongue. And then again, the New Testament, some things that we ought not to say and many things that we should be saying. This morning, we will look at some of the things, perhaps, for the most part, that we need to refrain from. Try to keep those things out of our lives so that we don't use these and condemn ourselves before God and before others. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. If you turn over there, you see that certainly the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, had some things to say about the tongue. And when we look at Colossians chapter 3 there, it talks about filthy speaking. Colossians 3 and verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Filthy speaking, filthy language. You know, filthy language, that takes in a scope of a lot of other identification of various words. And so it entails a lot of things. And so a filthy mind would bring about filthy speaking. On the other hand, a clean mind, a pure heart, would bring about pure speaking. And so one of the things we need to put off and put away from includes filthy speaking. I'm sure from time to time some of you have been around certain people, perhaps at a social event, or maybe out in business or in life in general, and you've heard people use bad words. And so some people, it seems, cannot speak without using bad words. Now, I've been in some situations over the years, and I guess, you know, when you're around certain people, it may be at school, it may be at work, it may be at play. But back in the years gone by, when I can remember being a little bit of active duty in the military, there were some people there that, especially early on, that they did a lot of filthy speaking. And if you were not careful, you would pick up on that, and before you know it, you might say some of the same things they were saying. If you're around it enough, it can rub off on you. So we got to refrain. This morning we talked about refraining from things that are evil. We got to be careful so we don't let things that we hear around us rub off on us, and then we get by just, seem like just natural reflex, to say a certain word we've heard over and over and over. And there are a lot of euphemisms that we, and that's another lesson in itself, that are used that reflect disrespect for God. And so we've had studies on those over the years, not to use those words. They may not be directly using God's name, but they're a part of it. And so it brings condemnation on our soul. So filthy speaking involves a lot of things. Gossip, going back to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16, gossip, talebearing. They were not to go about as a talebearer. They were not to go about as gossipers. Proverbs 11 and verse 13. What does a talebearer do? What does a gossiper do? They separate chief friends and the chiefest of friends. And so refraining from filthy speaking and gossip. We think about railing and clamoring. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Turn over there and let's read that verse. Ephesians 4 and verse 31. I've got the... Now I'm in Ephesians. I thought for a minute Ephesians had run out of verses there, chapter 4, but I was in Philippians. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So railing and clamor, putting those things away. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 4 and 5. Putting those things away. So it's important that we understand that this is not to be the part of the life of a Christian. Put these words away. The word railing or to rail is using words that filing complaints or making an abusive complaint towards someone in a way that's not polite or not good. It's scoffing. scoffing. All those things describe, the definition is part of describing railing. And so if we scoff against someone with our words, we're abusive with someone with words, and where we have abusive complaints against someone with our words, we're railing against them. And so we have examples in the Bible where some railed against others. They were being abusive. They were speaking in a way that they were scoffing and complaining about them. And so that's something that if we're doing it with our words, it's probably in our heart. So we need to check our heart and have an exam. And what's my attitude toward this person? What's my attitude toward people in general? And then clamor, putting away railing and clamoring out of our life. Clamor is loud outcry, very loud speaking, like a mob would have, outcry in a mob of loud speaking against someone, perhaps a mob speaking against the rules of the government, or a mob speaking against the Word of God, or a mob crying out and clamoring with a loud noise, as it were, when they were saying, put Jesus to death, and things of that nature. So, and it's easy to get caught up in the excitement of the moment. Whenever people get together, a few people in a crowd, and something's going on, over the years you notice that sometimes there'll be people that'll be running to do something, and they're complaining about a certain thing, and they get to a certain place, and all of a sudden it's a mob mentality. They're railing and complaining against the people that are there, loud, boisterous, and outcrying. So these are things that we need to be careful in our life, that we don't let become a part of our life. Then hasty and angry words. This is one of the hardest things I've had to learn over the years, is not to speak too quickly. And as I get older, I have a tendency to do that. And if I've done it to you, I'm sorry, because I need to have an attentive ear. So if you're talking to me, I need to be concerned about what you're saying, listen to what you're saying, absorb what you're saying, and not interrupt. So if I've interrupted you sometime in our conversations in recent months or recent years, I apologize for that. Because sometimes it's just, I guess, a natural response for humans to just, someone saying something and something comes in our mind and we just inject it right quick. But in the hasty words and angry words, is that something happens on suddenly, and then all here we are. We speak, and before we know it, we said something too quickly, and we said something that's angry, out of anger. And so it turns in that we may say something that's filthy, or we're having outbursts of loud speaking when we shouldn't have. So James 1, verse 19, think about what we're going to say before we say it. And that's a hard thing to do, I'm sure, for it is for me, and I can't speak for you. Proverbs 15 and verse 1, we need to be careful about hasty and angry words. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 11, again, thinking about the things the wise man said, that here are things that are involved that we need to keep out of our life. Proverbs 29 and verse 11, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. So being careful about what we say, when we say it, and how quickly we say it. Deceitful speaking and flattery. Deceiving someone with the way we phrase something. Jeremiah 9 and verse 28, there in the Old Testament, it goes back to the fact that here is some good advice for the Old Testament and good advice for us also. Jeremiah 9 and verse 8, it says, their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaks deceit. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lies in wait. Telling someone something with no intention of ever doing it. Telling someone something that I'm going to do, but I'm going to do it differently from what I say. So, a falsehood, deceitful speaking, and flattery. Speaking words just to make somebody feel good and don't really mean it. Just speaking up to look good, to flatter someone, to make them feel good about themselves and good about what you're saying. Certainly we need to build people up, but flattery is when we say things like that for the wrong reason. And so look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 5. Really, when you think about everything in the New Testament and the different various scriptures that talk about words that are wrong and words that can cause harm. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 5, we think about, "For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness." So Paul says flattering words, that's something we need to refrain from. And there are people today who will do that. And sometimes you hear someone, they'll say, "Well, you know, they're just trying to get their way. They're trying to just build themselves up to you and say something you'll like to hear." So deceitful speaking and flattery, if that's out of our mind, out of our heart, we won't be speaking words in that way. Boasting, murmuring, and complaining. James chapter 3 and verse 5. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 10. The children of Israel were condemned for being those who murmured and complained. They murmured and complained in the wilderness. They murmured and complained as things happened to them and blamed God. They murmured and complained about the food that God was providing them with. And so murmuring and complaining is not a part of, to be a part of our life today in our wording and our speaking. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 10, Paul is warning that we're not to be like those who were murmurers and complainers. And so sometimes we may not intentionally be meaning to complain, but then if we stop and think about it, and I stop and think about my life, maybe I complain more than I really realize I am. Something don't go the right way, and then I complain about why it didn't go that way. Or something happens, and then I complain about, this has happened. And sometimes we just got to take it in stride and not boast, murmur, or complain. And then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4 and verse 25, Matthew 5, 34 through 37, lying and swearing. Now, the listing of these 7 or 8 different items I have here, 2, 4, 6, 7, I believe, this is not anywhere a complete list of what the Bible talks about in words of bad words that people use, or words that are wrong, used with the wrong intention or for the wrong reason. But lying and swearing, put away from yourselves all these things. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, put away lying. That's one of the things that's listed there with all those others we're to put away. So when we're putting away things and we're working on controlling our life, lying is to be put out. Swearing. That's something we hear sometime in society or in business. Someone will just, they'll make a statement and they'll come behind it with a swear. You know, "Well, I'll do this," and they swear on God's name. And that's what the Bible speaks about, is in our heart thinking good things. So thinking truthful things. Speak truth and not lies. If we speak, let our words be as they are. Let our yea be nay and our nay be nay. Our yea be yea and our nay be nay. For whatsoever cometh of these are evil. We need to be careful about adding something to it and swearing on a different thing. Now, always comes up about, well, you know, you sometimes if you're called to serve on to answer questions in the courtroom, you'd have to take an oath on the Bible. Or if you're going to be sworn in to take an office, you're just committing yourself at that point to uphold the laws and to do it honestly and justly and be right in what you do. But the bywords that are used to swear, to make an emphasis on this is going to happen, that's where it comes in and makes it wrong, because we're putting an emphasis on some things that we're saying and backing it up with the words we ought not to be using. And so these are some things that are listed in the Bible that will help us to use the right words and good words as we speak through our daily activities. Well, on the board you see this morning, we think about the words that we speak. How am I speaking to other people on a regular basis? To my wife and my family and friends and neighbors and business associates and social life. How are you speaking to others? How do our words come out to others? And so are we thinking the right way before we speak? Because words that cut people down or words that belittle people or make, you know, downgrade other people's life or their actions, it should never be a part of our speech that comes out of our mouth. We should endeavor to think before we speak. And thinking before we speak, that means that we're going to use words that are beneficial for serving God, being obedient to Him, and encouraging others, and trying not to hurt others' feelings, and trying to say the first thing that's right in the sight of God to begin with. Building up others. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 this morning and go back and look at beginning verse 25. These are a few verses that really lay out the idea of speaking in a good way. Thinking before we speak. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Now let's look at that verse just briefly, the first part of verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. That pretty much puts the idea that think before we speak so we don't say any words that are wrong. Just don't let it happen. But what is good for necessary edification. We speak that which is good so that we may edify others with their words, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, as we mentioned earlier. And then verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Thinking before we speak, it makes it better for us and for the person that's listening to us. So, a few questions as we conclude our thoughts this morning, and let's look at that. How are my thoughts? How are your thoughts? How do our thoughts develop into words and our actions? So, how are we doing this morning? Ask yourself, how are you doing in your life on a daily basis? How am I doing? How will I be doing in the days ahead, if I live, and the weeks and months ahead this year, starting the year off right, thinking before we speak and speaking in a way that pleases God so we can do right toward Him and toward others. So our thoughts, our words, and our actions, how are we doing when it comes to what we think about others? You know, when we think about others, try to think good things. Try to think things that are not wrong toward that person. When we talk to others, how are we doing? How's our words in relation to the way we treat others with the words we speak to them? How about when it comes to the example we're setting for others? Those bad words that come out, they ought not to be. Let good words come out for edification. Let's look at this song very quickly, and the lesson will just about be over. All the things we may do is in our book. The words of that song, they emphasize our thoughts, our words, and our actions that we have toward others. And our words are actually things we do toward others and with others and at others. Verse 1, have you lifted a stone from your brother's way as he struggled along life's road? Have you lovingly touched some frail, toil-worn hand, shared with someone their heavy load? So, The beginning thing is in our heart, our attitude toward others. What do we think about others? Do we see the needs of others? Do we care about others? Are we treating them that way? And then how we speak to others. And then we look at verse 2. Have you spoken a word full of hope and cheer? Have you walked with a slower pace? To the weary of heart who were stumbling on, took new courage to run the race. Verse 3. Have you held up your light through the shadows dark, so that nobody else might see? Have you lived with the Christ through the long, long day, gaining many a victory? You know, our words have a big reflection on others, a big impact. How are we doing with that? And the chorus says, oh, the things we may do, you and I, oh, the things, oh, the love we can give if we try. Just a word or a song as we're passing along, they will count in the great by and by. So the words I speak to others, I'm going to give an account of the words I speak, the way I act, and the things I do. So ask yourself this morning, as I ask myself, when it comes to the words that I'm speaking to others, am I building them up or tearing them down? Am I encouraging them or am I discouraging them by my words? Am I speaking words of kindness or am I speaking words that belittle and ridicule others? When it comes to the way that I treat others, am I considerate or inconsiderate when I speak to them? Do I show respect or disrespect as I speak to others? When it comes to the example we're setting, the things we do, so our words and our actions, are we living in such a way that others see us good or in a bad light? How's those things looking? So, Romans 12:10, the Apostle Paul wrote, love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Matthew 22 and verse 39, Jesus said, you shall love your neighbors yourself. And Jesus also taught, therefore, whatever you want men to do, do you even so to them. So, how are we doing this morning? You ask yourself, examine yourself, because that's not my job. As I examine myself, how am I doing with my thoughts, my words, and my actions? Am I exemplifying Christ in all that I think, in all that I say, in all that I do? So let us refrain from evil. Let us abstain from sinful actions. Let us keep our mind set on the Word of God and things above, and keep our communication with others as God would have it to be. That's easier said than done, but if we want to, we can do it. So this morning we've talked about getting strength from God's Word. We've talked about controlling our own words. And so how do you stand the side of God this morning? Examine your life. And if you're here and you're not a Christian, maybe you've never been baptized into Christ, if you believe that He's the Son of God, willing to confess that and repent of your sins, you can be baptized and leave this building a Christian and go forward thinking the right things and saying the right things and doing the right things and please God. Maybe you're here and you need the prayers of the brethren for some reason. If that be the case, please come while we stand and while Donald leads us in the invitation song.